Blog Talk Radio.
Does the Holy Ghost say it to you now? Do you feel it?
Come on, man.
Do you feel it?
Oh,
the Creator touch. Lord, I believe I'm not wrong.
And welcome again to Tuesday Night Edition Bible Study with Pastor Brooks. Thank God for another day that the Lord has blessed us to come together to worship in this house. Thank God for all that He is doing. And certainly God has been good. Before we get started, let's have a word of prayer. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you again for another opportunity that you've given us to be able to come in here today to study your word, to worship, to fellowship. We thank you for how you have blessed us this week, how you have kept us through the dangers, through the storms. We thank you that you woke us up each and every morning, that you kept us throughout the day. And Lord, we ask that you continue to show your blessings and shower your blessings upon your people. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we thank you now. We give you the glory. We give you the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank God and amen. Okay. Praise God. How is everybody tonight?
Okay.
Praise God.
Not well, Pastor. This is Sister Dixon. I just... not feeling good at all tonight.
Well, we hate to hear that, Sister Dixon, but again, you're still in our prayers, and we're still praying for you.
Yeah.
Those days you struggle in your body, feel like you just can't make it, you can call me or call Missionary Cooper, and we'll definitely pray for you, keep you in prayer. Be best to call Sister Cooper because I don't get off work till 5:15 every day. Difficult to get in touch with me during the day. But any emergency, she's able to get to me fairly easy. Again, just we want to everyone to continue to pray for Sister Dixon. Certainly, when we come together as one, touch and agree that situations will change, situations will improve. So tonight we get back ready, go back into Bible study. We've been dealing with marriage, divorce, and remarriage. And thank God for the callers that have called on the line. Also, we've had people connected by the internet who have been listening in through the internet. And thank God for those. We've had people, even had someone from Europe, country of Norway, listening in to the Bible study. So even though we've just been on a few weeks, word is spreading. I think my brother has logged in from out of town. Thank God for him where he just logged on. And so through the internet. So we have, if you go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Bible study with Brooks, no slashes. You can connect through the internet. That way you won't have to use your phone, but even I think on the internet, if you have a, I don't know if we can pull you up if you use a headset or not on the internet, but you definitely can log in to the chat room, and you can, I can interact with you in the chat room, and you can ask questions there that we can put forward the questions over the air where everybody else can hear. So there's interaction either way you go, whether it be by the internet or by the phone line. Before we go into Bible study tonight, I was a little frustrated tonight. Look like every, yeah, and this, well, a little frustrated tonight. And some of you may say, Pastor, you're frustrated every Tuesday night. Yes, to a degree, and understand what's happening. You're doing Bible study when you're trying to help the people of God. The things do not go correct. Things do not go, well, I won't say they don't go correct. They don't go the way that you would like for them to go. A lot of times you have the enemy stepping in, doing things, bothering, hindering. And that's why I said, that's why I took back, things don't go correct. Because the enemy should bother the child of God. The child of God is reaching souls. The child of God is opening up eyes and making a connection. If the child of God is bringing forth light to a darkened world, then the correct thing for Satan to do to combat that is to try to come in and try to hinder. We know what Jesus said, that the thief come but for what? To kill, steal, and destroy. So that's a correct response, that the enemy would do something each Tuesday evening before we can get into Bible study, before we can come together in fellowship. And even though we're meeting by this medium, even if we were coming together, meeting at the same location in a physical building, same things or similar things would be happening. People would be getting flats, batteries run down, cars wouldn't start. anything children would be fine on Monday, get fevers on Tuesday, miss coming together, miss church on Tuesday because children had fevers. 12 midnight, the fever breaks, and they're fine. They get up and go to school the next morning. And so we know all the tricks that the enemy uses to cause hindrances, but we don't allow that to really stop us. It gets us angry at times, but we don't let, but we don't let it stop us. Well, the thing that happened today, you'll see it on the news if you live in the Memphis area. You may have seen it where our financial information at the school system got compromised. Some kind of way scammers scammed the people at the board of education. They emailed them all of our W-2s and thinking they were mailing them to the supposedly to the superintendent of the schools, and they got that, and they have, so now we're subject to identity theft. And not only are we subject to identity theft, the identity theft has already begun. And when I got the news, and I was sharing with one of my former coworkers that worked at another school, I was sharing with her with what had happened, and I told her, I said, and I, like I said, I get off at 5:15, and I told her, I said, well, first thing I'm going to do when I get home, I'm going to go file my taxes. I said, even though I don't have all my paperwork, and since I'm a pastor and I have self-employment income, is mine is, I have a lot of forms I have to fill out, complicated process, takes me a few hours to do it, to do my taxes, anywhere from 3 to 5 hours. But I told her I'm going to file and get mine in, even though it would not be complete. And then later on, when I get my other information, that I would file an amended tax return. But I said I just wanted to get mine in tonight to beat the scammers who have stolen our Social Security numbers. Well, while I'm at work, get a text message from H&R Block that my income tax has been filed and it's been received by the Internal Revenue Service. I said, again, we got the information was stolen yesterday. We got the information about 1 o'clock that it had been stolen. And before 5, the thieves, the scammers, the crooks had already hit me again probably before 4 o'clock this afternoon. And so now I got to go through all this process, dealing with the IRS, filing paperwork, filing taxes, can't do it electronically, going to have to send in paper forms, proving information, proving who I am, filing police reports, getting copies of police reports, going through filing with the different credit reporting agencies and all of this. Just going to be a long, tedious process and a headache. So that's the reason I'm a little frustrated tonight. And if it hadn't been that, it would have been something else. But we do thank God for each of you. So now I've let that rant go. We'll get started into tonight's lesson. As I was studying and thinking about what we were going to cover, I understood that we had covered quite a bit, probably wasn't much more to cover, and that we would just take some questions if anybody had some questions. Again, there were others who spoke to me throughout the week who had listened by way of the internet, and they were asking me some things and making some comments. So I was going to go that route. Then I was looking at another thing, and I saw it, and what I did, I had was looking at this article from a book, and I forget the name of the book, but it was by, the author's name's Chris Jackson. I was looking at a lot of the books that I had up on the shelf, and this book was entitled The Black Christian's Singles Guide to Dating and Sexuality. And in the book, he had a, on chapter 4, title of that chapter was Sanctified Sex. What I did on Facebook, I didn't have, again, didn't have much time to do it. So what I was trying to figure out, how could I put this on the internet where those of us who are here tonight can get to it? And so if you have Facebook, go ahead and link up with me. So I don't post much. Among the things I post is announcements about church on Sunday morning. This, what we're doing here with Blog Talk. Sometimes I'll put pictures, go through photo albums and post pictures of things of that nature. I don't do too much on Facebook. But I dawned on me how to, went to the copy machine, copied these, made a copy of the chapter 4, was able to use the copy machine, scan it, and send a copy to myself, save it as a PDF, and then found this service on the internet where you could create a PDF and store it where people could go see it. And so then I put it on Facebook about the Bible study and said we would look at this chapter, Sanctified Sex, and put a link where those of you could, if you had, again, if you had been linked up with me on Facebook or had seen it on Facebook, you could have clicked on that link and it would have taken you to that PDF. You would have seen that chapter. You've been able to read it. I don't know if I clicked it where you could be able to print it. I probably didn't. And the reason for that was that I did not contact the author and ask for permission. Normally when I use publications like that, I usually go through the process of doing things right. Use our copyrighted works. Author still living, I'll call them, tell them what I want to do with it, how I want to use it. And most, no, never have been turned down because I don't try to sell it. And usually tell them what I want to do it like that, and they give me their permission. But this, I didn't have time to get his permission, so I put it on there, use that format, but I don't think I click where the document could be printed. So you're just going to have to read it right there on the website, take down notes if you wanted to take any, and then tomorrow I'll go back in and delete it. Again, it's not a I didn't have permission to really do that, what I did, but I did it so that we could just have it for Bible study. But if you want to borrow the book, let me know, and you can borrow it. You know, as the ones at New Birth know, I used to have a real extensive library. Over the years, I've given a lot of my books away to the members so that they could read them, so that they could get information or whatever. And the way I am, I don't buy a book and start at the first page and read to the last page. I buy a book. There's certain information that I want out of it, and I go to that information, and I get the information that I want. So not a person who reads for pleasure. You don't see me picking up novels and other type of entertaining reading. But I do a lot of reading, but most of my reading is technical reading. Most of my reading is for information, gathering information. And even though it's not, I don't read for pleasure or entertaining, my gathering information is pleasurable and it entertains me. So that's what I do. So as we've talked about marriage, remarriage, marriage, divorce, and remarriage, we looked at last week about what Jesus said. And I didn't go into what Paul, when he talked about it, I just stuck to that point about what Jesus said. But we go to 1 Corinthians, the 7th chapter. The Apostle Paul, he expands upon it a little bit more when he talks about the unbelieving spouse who has deserted the believer. And he did, and Paul did give a option for the believer to be remarried without being in adultery. Now, when Jesus mentioned about marriage, Jesus, and we have to understand, Jesus was not really condoning divorce, but Jesus told the Pharisees that God had given, allowed Moses to issue a bill of divorcement, and Jesus said the reason that God had done this was because of the hardness of men's hearts. But when we think about it, the reason our hearts get hardened, you know, if your spouse has been unfaithful, that's going to hurt. That's going to hurt, no doubt about it. You're going to feel wounded. You're going to feel cheapened. You're going to feel unloved. There's going to be a lot of feelings going through your head, through your mind, through your psyche, and it hurts. After it hurts, it makes you mad. Why would someone do me like this? I didn't deserve this. I didn't deserve that. And anger and hostility builds up. And then we get to a point that we can't forgive. But we have to realize this, and, you know, we don't really realize it, but for us, really, the key should be forgiveness. When it comes to adultery, that's one of the things that we have a extremely difficult time in forgiving. But for the child of God really is supposed to be able to forgive. That's one of the marks of being a Christian, is the ability to forgive. Because we are, as people, we have to realize that all of us have sinned. And when we sin, we are committing a form of spiritual adultery against God. And
God.
No matter how hurtful we have been to the Lord, some way go to God, ask Him for forgiveness, and God gives us forgiveness. And since God is able to forgive, then we too must be able to forgive. One of the things the scripture said, that if we can't forgive our brothers, how can we expect God to forgive us? And so forgiveness has to be one of the characteristics of a child. But here again, when it comes to adultery, and one of the reasons it's difficult to forgive is because adultery involves an intimacy. And so we take that intimacy that should only belong to one, and we take it and we give it to another, that becomes a mighty hurting thing. And for some people, it hurts to the point that they will become wounded. Some people will hurt you, and some people will even harm themselves. So marriage is a great thing. Marriage was instituted by God, and since God has instituted it, then we ought to be willing to thank God for what He has made, and we should walk according to the Word of God. Now, when it dealt with leadership, I talked about that last week, how God puts a scripture does speak of a higher standard for the leader, and that the man of God, the minister, had to be the husband of one wife, could not be a polygamist, even if the laws of the land permitted polygamy, that the child of God in the land that permitted polygamy or said it was legal to be a polygamist, it was legal to have more than one wife. It was legal to have four wives, five wives. But for the child of God, even if the child of God was living in a society where polygamy was practiced, polygamy was accepted, polygamy was not against the law, that even for the child of God, the man of God, he had to hold himself to a higher standard, and he could only be the husband of one wife. He couldn't do like society does. He couldn't have more than one wife. He had to live as God has commanded. And so then we always get to the point, well, what about people who were not saved, went through marriage, divorce, remarried, then later on they decided to give their lives to God? What's their standing? Well, we'll deal with that another time. Those issues, God will judge on an individual basis. But I did talk about last week about how we have some people, and you know them, that have married, divorced, remarried. And some of the people who were in the church, married, divorced, remarried, stay away from church, come back to church later on with the new spouse, say that they have say that they have asked God to forgive them. God has forgiven them of their sins, and so now they have a right to stay with a new spouse. But people fail to forget. I guess I will deal with it a little bit. People fail to forget when they say that I have repented. What does repentance mean? Repentance, there's three components to repentance. First component to repentance is acknowledgement and confession. So if you're going to repent or say that you have repented, first point is that there is acknowledgement and confession. If you have your Bible, look at 1 John the first chapter, verses 8 through 10. And this is what it says. It says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. So we look at the scripture. If we're going to repent, there has to be an acknowledgement. We have to confess our sins. If we confess it, then he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from what? All unrighteousness. Second point, second component of repentance is godly sorrow. So if you really repent, you understand that you really have done wrong and that there is something missing and something really wrong with what we have done. 2 Corinthians 7 and 10 says, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. So with repentance, there's godly sorrow also, that we're sorry, we are embarrassed that we have hurt God, that we have mistreated God, and we develop godly sorrow. And here's the real key. The third component of repentance is this. And don't get mad at me, I'm just going through what the Bible says. The third component of repentance is a change of mind and a change of heart that leads to a change of behavior. And so with repentance, you're going to have a change of mind, you're going to have a change of heart. Repentance says, I can't continue doing wrong. I can't continue with the same actions that I have been doing. There's a change of heart, there's a change of mind. And then this leads to a change of behavior. So recognize, if this is what I've been doing wrong, if I'm repenting, then I'm just going to have to stop what I've been doing and start doing differently and walking differently. Acts 26 and 20 says, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. So the scripture said that this is what he was preaching. They should repent and turn to God. So these things, God, will trigger repentance in our hearts, and we will ask God to forgive us, and we'll change our walk. We have another guest to log in tonight. Thank you again for coming through on the internet on the chat line. Now, did anybody Did anybody look at that link and open up a copy of that chapter 4, Sanctified Sex? Okay, so nobody got an opportunity. Nobody got an opportunity to look at that. All right. But if you go back, again, if you have Facebook, you can go back, find the post where I did. I think it was, may have been yesterday. Look at that post yesterday about Blog Talk Radio. You can click that link and go to it. Well, basically, the author, the chapter he was dealing with, again, this book was entitled The Black Christian Singles Guide to Dating and Sexuality. Well, why are you using this, talking about marriage, divorce, and remarriage? The reason I'm using this, a lot of times, the things that we have to, you can have a house, and the house can look beautiful, but if the foundation is messed up, eventually the rest of the house will be messed up. No matter how pretty the walls look, no matter how pretty the roof is, if the foundation of the house is not in order, that foundation will cause the walls to sag, will cause the roof to sag, and eventually cause the house to cave in. So a lot of times what it happens with, again, with marriage, a lot of marriages are not started out on, are not built on the right foundation. With so many marriages, you have people, again, we talked about this last week, get married for the wrong reason. Get married because of social status, get married because we want to get our own place, get married because we want to get out from under our parents' roofs, get married because we want to have our own place to stay and not have to follow the rules of somebody else, get married because we are full of lust and we just want to have sex with the person that we're in lust with and not be guilty in the eyesight of God. So there are a lot of reasons that people get married that are not built upon a solid foundation. Again, you can, foundation can be messed up. You can continue to build upon a messed up foundation, but when you have completed that which you have endeavored to build, eventually it will not stand. It will not be able to continue to stand because the foundation that it was built on is messed up. And so if you're marrying for sex, then that marriage will not sustain itself because you are marrying out of lust rather than marrying out of love and a commitment to one another. So you talked about sanctified sex. What is sanctified sex? Author here used the term sanctified sex because he said he wanted to look at it in a positive, light. You know, we're in that period where we try to, you know, that's how we are. We have tried to use terms and phrases that are less negative and use terms and phrases that are, that have a more positive connotation. It used to be a time we used to, sound like some mean words to say. But there was some, these terms were actual medical terms that were used to describe developmental delays, or people with developmental delays. And these were legal medical terms that the doctors, the psychiatrists, and the psychologists used to label people who had developmental issues. And those terms were, yet the term fool, the term moron, the term imbecile. I forgot the four of us, four of them, fool, moron, imbecile, and idiot. And those were four legal medical terms that described the person's developmental delays. Again, fool, idiot, moron, and imbecile. And right now, off the top of my head, I can't put them in order from the highest IQ to the lowest IQ, but I think fool was the higher functioning individual. And then after the fool, you had the other three labels. And that's, and again, that was medical terminology. Then the medical terminology stopped using those four words to describe developmental delays. Then it started using the terminology mental retardation. And then to distinguish using the term mild retardation, moderate retardation, and severe retardation. Well, now we have decided that those terms are negative connotations, and so now we don't use the word retarded anymore describing developmental issues. Now we use the term, the medical term, developmentally delayed, and we classify how delayed an individual is. So we use different terminology, so we try to not use negative connotations to describe, but now we're in a period where we try to use positive phrases to describe negative situations. In other words, we use political correctness. And so he didn't want to use the term abstinence and celibacy in describing how the Christian is to conduct themselves, especially the child of God. But wanted to use a more upbeat term, and this is what he used, the term sanctified sex. So abstinence, that is sanctified sex, that's what God has intended for mankind, that we would abstain from sexual activity until we are married, that we are to be celibate until we do marry. And then once we marry, then we come in sexual union with the person that we have married. And then we don't have the issue of comparing one person to another person, saying, well, he's not that good in bed. Well, how do you know he's not that good in bed unless you've been in bed with somebody else who was good? So these things, and so, but for the child of God, this is what God has designed. That's what God has designed. And that's the way it should be, but we allow the enemy to trick us, and we take the good words that God used and say, and try to make them sound like foolish words. The word virgin, that signifies purity. And we take it and we laugh at the word virgin. And we try to make the word virgin to be a foolish word. Why would somebody want to be a virgin? Why would somebody want to walk around here, never have had sexual relations with somebody else? Why would a person want to be a virgin? You hear the young ladies in middle school questioning other young ladies. Girl, you still a virgin? And the older you get, go to high school, they really look at you funny. Are you still a virgin? And if you go to college, they really get to you and then say, I just can't believe that you are still a virgin. So the world takes the word virgin and makes it to be something crazy. But the word virgin is actually something beautiful, denotes pureness and beauty. So sanctified sex, Nalton gave this analogy. He said typical sex often steals the relationship show, kills genuine friendship, grills true intimacy, spills patience, deals the unexpected, wills pain when the relationship dies. Typical sex. Because what happens with typical sex is if you're having sex with someone, I don't care how good a relationship you've had with this person in the past, I don't care how great of friends you have been, but once you cross the threshold and begin to have sex with this person, you actually destroy that friendship. Because if you break up, you don't get married, you will never be friends like you were before. It kills genuine friendships. Yeah, you can still be friendly, but you'll never be friends anymore, because now you can't trust one another. You have trusted each other with the most intimate details of your life, and now that has been exposed, but it's not, there's no bond to keep it between the two of you any longer. And so then you have these doubts, and that friendship, that genuine friendship, is gone, and it's gone forever. Yes, again, you can still be friendly, but you will never be friends again. But sanctified sex, instead of killing a relationship, it builds trust. It heals doubts and hurts. It feels void. It seals discipline. It shields from relationship predators. It yields to God. We're talking about relationship predators. You have people who just go from person to person. I don't know the term that they use now. What is it? Chopping them down, knocking them off or something. And so you have this mentality, I'm hunting after women. I'm hunting after men. I'm trying to see who I can sleep with. I'm trying to see how many I can sleep with. I'm trying to tally up how many I can have. And when we have this attitude, it creates lust in us, and we look at relationships as just being sexual unions. And the main purpose of the relationship is sex. And so what happens when things change, then the relationship changes. But when a person practices sanctified sex, what do? The couple is not practicing having sex, but they're practicing having communication. They're practicing having intimacy without, I'm talking about real intimacy, not lustful intimacy. When I mean intimacy, I'm talking about learning each other, learning each other's desires, learning each other's needs, learning how to help the other person say no, learning how to help each other discipline their lives so that they don't cross the line and become what God has not intended for them to be. And so we as God's people, we have to practice sanctified sex even when we get married. Coming together should not be just a coming together out of lust, but it should be building on a healthy relationship. You practice sanctified sex, you will understand who really loves you, young ladies, young men. You practice sanctified sex, you learn who truly loves you. Because sanctified sex is saying, we're going to wait till we get married. The person loves you and they're marrying you for you, they will wait. If they love you, they'll hurry up and move the wedding date up. But if they're just looking at you as a sexual partner, they're going to pressure you into sex, and if you give in, then that's all they wanted. And once they get tired and it's no longer compelling, no longer exciting, then that person will begin to wander and move on. But if you really love one another, abstinence or the sanctified sex, it helps to really bring a bond and a desire that will take you through life where you will genuinely love and cherish one another. But if you are hopping in bed and out of bed and you're trying to use sex to prove that you love someone, that really doesn't sustain relationships. And I can say this, now you know it. You probably were told this, may have not have been told it in this direct manner, but you were told this, you were taught this, you understood this, but you rejected it and went with the world, and you started sleeping with people, you started having sex with people, thinking that relationships would build out of this sexual bond, but then you realize that, but what is happening, you've broken up, you've had so many women in the past, you've had so many men in the past that you've been with one person after another person, and nothing lasting has been created. And it's because we have a wrong attitude when it comes to sex. But when you're practicing sanctified sex, or living as God has commanded us to live, God can bless that, and God will bless that. And then you get to the wedding ceremony. The wedding ceremony is really a unique occasion. Two people joining together as one. Here, one of the statements the author makes, that the sexual act was designed to be holy and binding, a powerful union of two souls. So how is it going to be holy and binding if we are not with our spouses, if we're not with our husband, we're not with our wives, if we're with people that we hope will one day be our wife, if we're with people who are calling us wifey but have not married us, if we're with people who are saying, you're my wifey, but there's no wedding ring on your finger, there's no engagement ring on your finger, you have men laying in your house, you have women laying in your house, you're sleeping in the same bed, but you have no desire to be married. One has a desire, but the other has no desire. And so I don't press them on the issue because I don't want to drive them away. And one old preacher used to hear say this, well, not old, if he was still living, he'd be an old preacher. But you see a preacher say this, that we, as people, we allow people to treat us worse than dogs. In most municipalities, you live in the city, you get a pet, you get a dog. You got to get a license for the dog, a dog license. Have to pay that for the dog to have shots, rabies shots every year. And you have to get a license for the dog. But then you allow a person to, then we allow people to use us sexually, and they don't even get a license for us. But they'll get the license for the dog. They will do the things that it takes to have a dog. But when it comes to people, they're not concerned about getting a license to marry you. But no matter what our sexual history has been, we have this assurance that it's never too late to go to God and ask Him to forgive us. Again, we go repenting. What is repenting? We have to acknowledge that we have a problem. We have a problem. We have a sin problem. We have a problem that the enemy has come in our homes. He's wrecked havoc. We're playing house rather than building homes. We're acting as though we're married without being married. We have a term that they use now that I'm a friend with benefits. In other words, I'm not in a committed relationship, but I'm in a relationship where it's just beneficial for both parties. They get something out of it. I get something out of it. We're friends with benefits. But we know that we have to acknowledge, when it comes to any sin, have to acknowledge. First admit that there is a problem. First admit that there is something wrong. Then confess. Agree with God. You're just agreeing with God's word. God said it's wrong, you're agreeing. Yes, God, it's wrong. Then we have to repent. And when it comes to repenting, we have to turn away from that which is wrong and turn toward something else. In other words, the thing that we've been doing wrong, we're going to have to replace it with something that is right and something that is correct. The thing that we've been using, that we've turned away, that's been damaging, we're going to have to turn towards something that provides healing and something that is wholesome. So for a child of God, you're going to have to acknowledge, confess, repent, make changes, learn from life, and always be on guard against the enemy. So we practice this lifestyle. Again, we won't continue to be in the same situation, sometimes up, sometimes down, almost level to the ground. But we can be what God has designed for us to be. But again, we get caught up in the world. We get caught up in society. Society tells us that you just keep marrying till you get married. Keep doing it till you get it right. But a child of God should understand, if we follow God's word, we'll get it right the first time. But what happens, a lot of us have not married for the right reasons. And if you don't marry for the right reasons, you have to stay married sometimes for the wrong reason. And so, and that's what makes a lot of times our marriage is so difficult and so hard, again, they were not built on the right foundation. And so they become difficult. And anything that you build a house, again, the foundation is not correct. The walls look good. The roof looks good. But after a period of time, the walls will begin to buckle in. The roof will begin to sag in. And if you want that house remodeled and rebuilt, you want it looking like it's supposed to look. You want it to be what you had in your mind for it to be when you started out. You'll have to tear down. You'll have to rebuild. You'll have to tear down to the foundation. You'll have to correct that foundation. And once you correct that foundation, then you can rebuild, and then it will be according to specifications that you desired and that you wanted. But if the foundation is not right and you continue to allow it to remain on the incorrect foundation, you really will never be satisfied with what you have, because what you have will not be solid. And so with our lives, this is where repentance comes in, acknowledgement comes in. We have to acknowledge that things are not right. We have to ask God to forgive us, and we have to build back, tear down to that foundation and rebuild that foundation and start over. Sometimes we have to start from the beginning, but that's what repentance does. It helps us to recognize that there's something wrong. My life is not in agreement with God's word. And if God does not agree with me, then I cannot stand before him righteously. And so to really be able to stand in the presence of God, we're going to have to agree. God asking the word in the book of Amos, how can two walk together except they be agreed? How can we have fellowship with God when we will not live according to God's word? How can light and darkness coexist at the same time? They cannot. The room is dark. You go in a darkened room. You turn on the light. What happens? Light shows up. Darkness disappears. But as you're walking out that room, you turn that light off. What happens? Light disappears, and darkness covers the whole entire room. And that's the way it is with life. If we're not in agreement with God, instead of us walking in light, we're really just walking in darkness. And when you walk in darkness, you're going to stumble. You walk in darkness, you're going to run into the wrong thing. You walk in darkness, you'll probably hurt yourself. But we want to be blameless and be above reproach, because all of us are trying. Let me say this. I pray that all of us are trying to get to the point where we're able to stand before God in judgment, and God tells us, well done, my good and faithful servant. The book of Matthew, Jesus said when he comes back, he's going to come back with the angels. He's going to tell the ones, God's people, he's going to liken them as sheep, tell them to come to the right hand. But those who have rejected God, he's going to liken them to the goat and tell them to come to the left. The one that is to the right, the sheep, is going to tell them, enter into the joy of the Lord. That have rejected God's word, the ones that he likens to the goat, he's going to tell them, depart from me, I know you not. He's going to have the angels to take them and cast them into the lake of fire. But we don't want to be in that category. We want to be one of the sheep that God says, well done, my good and faithful servant. Now, remember what the word of God said. Today, if you hear my heart, hear my voice, harden not your heart. Don't continue to be in rebellion to God's word, but continue to walk the way God has declared for us to walk. Praise God. I didn't mean to go on that long without a break. But at this time, anybody have any comments or questions on tonight? Praise God. Everybody's mic is open. Everybody's mic is open. If anybody has a question or comment, you can come ask that question and make that comment tonight.
Hey, Pastor Bruce, I don't have any comments or questions.
Okay, that's Trevina.
Yeah.
Okay, praise God for you. And thank you for even sharing the number and sharing it on Facebook about what we were doing tonight. I did see a post where you and my brother Fred, as you all were reposting.
I tried to pull up that blog you was talking about, but it wasn't letting me pull nothing up.
Okay, the problem was when I started, I didn't dial the right number. Well, with all the confusion going on, I was dialing the number that you all dial rather than dialing the host number. So when you all tried to connect, if you notice, those of you who dialed in, if you notice, it was about 3 or 4 minutes before I came on because I had dialed the wrong number and was wondering why I could not connect and kept hanging up and dialing the call-in number rather than dialing the host number. But if somebody didn't call me and ask me what was the number, that number wouldn't have been stuck in my head. Praise God. But we thank God. So like I say, each week we're getting a little better and better and getting in here on time. But tonight we're definitely ready. But I had called in 10 minutes ahead of time, but I just used the wrong number and was never able to connect. Since I wasn't connected, it wasn't going to connect from that Facebook link. It probably will do it now. I'm going to try that. Anybody have a question? Thank you, Mimi. Thank you for
you're welcome.
Being online. And thank you for all that you do.
You're welcome.
Pastor Brooks, I wasn't able to use my computer today. I thought hackers were on it.
Okay.
This is Mother Brooks.
No. Okay, Mother Brooks. They, I have to check yours out. Like I said, they got me through work. It wasn't through the computer. It was done through work.
Okay.
All right. But you got your package, didn't you?
Yes, thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. I think I dropped it off about 10 last night. Mm. Okay. Anybody else have any questions or comments?
Hey, Pastor Brooks, what's going on?
This is who?
This is Mike. Man, what's going on?
Hey, how you doing, brother? Michael?
Well, I've been through this for you for a while, but just letting you know, man, I'm in the hospital and mentioned itself, so I want y'all to pray for me.
Okay, I didn't know you used a post on Facebook. I didn't see a post today.
Yeah, I put it up today. I just came in today.
Okay. Well, all right.
But I've been listening to you every week, though. We're going to keep this going.
Okay. Glad you're listening. Glad Dale reminds you.
Yes. You already know why I'm listening.
Okay. But we're going to say a special prayer for you before we close tonight. And we will try to get down there tomorrow. Also, let's remember to pray. Again, pray for one another. Pray for those even in jail. And we'll have to get down to 201 Poplar Friday after school and visit. Again, we thank you for your presence. Thank you, Sister Blanche. We'll continue to pray for you.
Yes.
Thank God for everybody. And we're going to have prayer. No other comments. We're going to have prayer. And we're going to go. And again, thank you, Fred, for being on from out of town. Well, I will have to, again, I will have to put another link up. And I saw what you did, Mimi. I clicked that just a minute ago, and it just gave a intro to Blog Talk. It didn't really link you to the episode. So I guess we'll have to go.
Yeah.
Just type in the full address, the blogtalkradio.com / Bible Study with Brooks.
Okay.
Again, we'll work all this out. I'm in a different spot tonight, a little quieter than last week. I'm out in my shed. Next week I will do this. I'll have this computer and my laptop, and I'll be able to test some other things. See how to get us directly linked in. Again,
okay.
Thank God for everybody. Thank you, Missionary Cooper. Thank you, Mother Brooks. And thank God for everybody. Let's pray. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you again that you have blessed us to come together tonight to share in your word. We thank you for each and every soul that's connected by internet, that's connected by phone. And Lord, we just thank you for blessing us to use this medium in order to share your word and to uplift and encourage each other. Dear Lord, we pray that you would look on Brother Michael. I pray that you touch his body. We pray that you would give him healing, deliverance, that you bless him and that you give him strength. Dear Lord, I pray that you would look up on his wife, look up on his children, and shield and protect them and lift them up as he goes through this time. Dear Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you would bless his caregivers. Let them make the right decisions regarding his treatment and regarding his health. Lord, we thank you right now. We ask that you bless his family, send your anointing his way. We pray for Sister Blanche. We pray that you would touch her body. We pray that you would strengthen her. We pray that you would meet her need according to your riches and glory. Dear Lord, we ask that you continue to bless her, continue to touch her, continue to give her strength. Lord, in the name of Jesus, everyone that's on this prayer connected line tonight, we ask that you would give strength. We ask that you would lift. We ask that you would bless. Dear Lord, in the name of Jesus, we ask that you lift every heavy burden. We ask that you bless us now. Bless our coming out, our going out, our coming in. Lord, bless our homes. Lord, in the name of Jesus, continue to protect us and continue to keep us in perfect peace. Oh, Lord, we thank you for all that you have done. And Lord, we ask that you bless us on Sunday as we come together. Lord, you anointed us on last Sunday, and we pray that you would anoint us one more time. Lord, in the name of Jesus, every time your people come together at 6424 Benjamin's Town, we pray that you would meet us in a mighty way. Lord, we ask that you touch right now. We ask that you would fill our hearts. We ask that you would fill souls. We ask that you would fill the building. We ask that you bless us right now in the name of Jesus. So, Lord, thank you now. Keep us in perfect peace. Bless us right now. Touch us right now. Strengthen us right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank God. And amen. And before we go, as I was praying, I was thinking about something. Sister Cooper, I think it's
third
Sunday.
Third Sunday.
Make your announcement.
The third Sunday in February, we're having Pack-a-Poo Day. On that Sunday morning, we're looking for each and every one to be there. and bring a guest, and we want to pack God's house out today and just have a glory time in the Lord. Asking for a small donation of $20. That's not very much. When you go to the store and get you something, a drink and a cake and potato chips, the $20 is gone just like that. So the $20, nothing more to ask for. It's just a small amount to ask for $20 on that day. But we want to pack God's house out, and we just want to be a blessing of the Lord and let God just come on in, anoint us some more of him in Jesus' name. Thank you.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. So we thank God. We're having Pack a Pew Day, the third Sunday in February. We're doing the morning service. And that means that you invite as many people as you can, encourage them to come and to worship with us and fellowship with us on that Sunday. And praise God. And we want to definitely fill God's house. We want to continue to do kingdom work and drawing others to Christ. Again, I ask that you continue to pray for Sister Blanche, pray for Michael Jackson, pray for my sister-in-law, Dorothy Antoine in South Carolina. And even though some of us are not sick or don't know we're sick or haven't claimed that we're sick, pray for one another that God continue to bless us all. Till next week, everyone have a blessed evening. Again, watch out for identity theft. The thieves, the thieves are out there. Thank you. And God bless you.
Thank you, Pastor Brooks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
It's about we're doing good. About time for a war cry, though, I think. You know I don't go nowhere unless I do the war. We need 1 minute to just kind of change the atmosphere. Just, you got me there? Make sure you're not sitting next to somebody who's defeated. God given him victory and good success. We're coming against any enemy that will come against him. I think you ought to get your feet ready.